Hello, listeners. If you like this show, please go to iTunes and subscribe. Rate and review our show. Thanks.
We've got two awesome sponsors, including Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions, in case your tractor hits a cow. It's a TagCast podcast.
Wait.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Can I be getting paid for this, boys?
The TagCast podcast starts right now.
Hey everybody, this is a TagCast coming to you live from the helicopter weather report, traffic and weather. As you can see, most of the roads, it's sunny out, and traffic jams all over. Traffic marmalades and traffic jams.
Hey, there's some traffic jelly.
Traffic jelly.
The helicopter keeps cutting out.
This is the 511 episode of the TagCast podcast.
Is that what we are? Or are we the Terry and Gatch comedy show now?
I don't know. Sure. That sounds good to me.
I went on some place. It was either Stitcher or TuneIn and said that.
Oh, really?
So I think you already officially changed it.
I must have. Sweet.
Yeah. So Terry and Gatch comedy show is still TAG. And a lot of people, when PTP introduced me a couple weeks ago up there in Portland, he called up the TAG podcast.
Uh-huh.
Terry and Gatch, a lot of people call it the TAG podcast.
Sure.
Dano, back a couple seasons ago, calling the TAG. If you're not listening to the TAG podcast, you fucking don't know shit. So we kind of are just evolving here.
Kind of dropping the podcast because we're more than a podcast. We're a show.
We're a radio show. That's right. We like to start with a little music. We have some sound bites. We do some news. We have segments. We don't just talk about like one subject. Yeah. We're not a dedicated information podcast. We're just a radio show.
And maybe with the Terry and Gatch comedy show, people won't go, what's a comedy show?
Yeah. They know what a comedy show is. At least they can deduce what it might be. A podcast could be about politics. It could be about the weather, which we started off talking about the weather today. And by the way, I'm playing some doom metal here in the back. This is strictly for Hans. Hans, you ever heard of this band? They're called Coffin Worm. Coffin Worm. I stumbled across these guys. I thought of you.
Coffin.
Dustin is the official Coffin Worm of the show today. He's doing the worm on the floor right now and coughing at the same time. It's called the Coffin Worm.
I'm going to do
it's a new
the
move.
Worm. While we record the whole episode.
While coughing.
Mm-hmm.
It's Coffin Worm. So this is the 511 Coffin Worm episode. But Hans, check them out. They brought you to my mind. Some of the drumming reminds me of a Perpetual Conversion song that I recorded all by myself, which is kind of cool when you hear songs that kind of sound like stuff that you've already kind of made up. So yeah, I don't know much about them. That's up to you, Hansy.
You know what song was performed with a full band? All by myself.
Well, that's fucking ironic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And was that a full band or was it just two guys?
Who is that?
Air Supply.
Yeah, that's right. That's
those
right.
Two, it's those two gay-looking dudes. And speaking of gay, we
did just a duo?
Well, yeah, but I'm sure they had a band.
Sure,
it was just them. It was like, to me, all their pictures was just the two of them.
Mm-hmm. I remember them back in the day because they were on the radio. You know, I was like six or seven probably in the early 80s. I mean, good songs.
Yeah, and
you know,
speaking of, they're kind of like, I would consider them gay music for gay people.
Mm-hmm.
I got a weird response when I said that at the Cosmic Pizza the other night, but we'll talk about that later. This is one of the first times we recorded on our normal day, and it didn't come out till Wednesday, so this is kind of a, reminds me of old days, you know?
Sure.
But we haven't talked about the gay marriage thing, and while we're talking about Air Supply and two guys that could be gay, do you hear about Bert and Ernie making the cover of some big magazine?
Out or something?
Yeah, they're like
the gay magazine.
No, it's like
or just
the
a big
New
one.
York Post
okay.
or one of those, okay. and not the New York Post.
Are they they came out of the closet?
Well, now that's the deal. They're insinuating, because they're sitting there silhouetted, Ernie with his head on Bert's shoulder, Bert with his arm around Ernie, and they're looking at the decision on the television that gay marriage is okay now. And then it says, Bert and Ernie's special day. Well, now, the Muppet people have came out and said that they're best friends. And the reason that they were introduced to the kids was so they can know that even people that look different and are a little different, they can still be best friends. They said there's never been any kind of a homosexual or heterosexual, because they're not humans. They are puppets. Therefore,
yeah.
there is no sexual orientation.
They don't need to really put that out there, though.
I think it's stupid that someone
because
put Bert
when
and
I was
Ernie.
A kid, that was, you know, at the age of watching Sesame Street, that wasn't even a thought that, you know, entered
my mind. I
didn't
even
mind.
Know what gay was.
Yeah.
Except for stupid. Like,
yeah,
you don't call
sure.
your friends homos, you call them gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not,
and,
not because
you know,
they're
I mean,
homo.
Well, yeah, and when you're watching Sesame Street, you're not really of the age to where you even know about sex or probably relationships, mostly.
Yeah, I watch Sesame Street sometimes now. But,
yeah, yeah.
I know about that stuff, but that's different.
Yeah, but it's not, you know, you're not going to go, you're not going to... I tell
Snuffle
Jayden.
Up because it's a sex offender.
Yeah.
It's like a Bert and Ernie or Kay.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman probably used to molest little. Oh, he said something about. He had a cool tweet the other day that said, if you're homophobic, it said, this is paraphrasing because I can't remember the exact quote, but it said, you're not afraid. Okay, so homophobia means you're afraid of gay people. He goes, but if you're homophobic, you're not afraid. You're just an asshole.
Sure.
Yeah. So that was kind of funny. You I tried
know,
to read
one of those things. I mean,
try to read his tweets in his voice.
You know, you can think what you want, but you probably shouldn't put it out there in that kind of a context. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's no reason to create a stir if it doesn't affect you. Right?
I like reading the stirs.
Uh-huh.
I was reading something on Toby, and Carl had posted on it in one of Toby's, and it was kind of a religious / gay kind of subject matter.
Sure.
How the Old Testament.
Accepting of.
So it turned into a big flame war of sorts. People saying this, and someone saying, well,
sure.
you're stupid because
Hot
you think this.
Topic issue.
Oh, and Carl's like, I love that novel. The Bible is a great science fiction novel, you know. Any mm-hmm. book that starts with a talking snake and ends with a big monster killing everybody is probably not really that true, you know. And then, I'm Toby's family, and I don't even see why you butted in here in the first place. And he's all, well, why don't you learn how to spell some words? And, like, I can't read this. Because he was like, typo city.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't care,
no
obviously.
Punctuation.
Yeah, and misspelling, and he's like, I'm out
or
of here.
Or maybe very, he might have just been, like, frantically, like, I can't believe what that guy wrote.
Yeah, so I came in there and kind of tried to lightheartedly break it up. You know, so I'm like, quoting some things and like, this is hilarious, and they got a couple likes, and so I think that, you know, they're like, oh, I'm not here to cause any problems and I'm not mad at anybody. I just think that if you're going to talk about this, you should be able to listen to someone else talk about it.
Certainly. And you're not going to really change anybody's opinions, but there's nothing wrong with sharing yours.
Yeah. Not necessarily. You know, I mean, that's true. You might not change your opinion, but there is a chance you might say something that just might make them go,
certainly.
What the fuck? I didn't know that the whole time.
Certainly. But when somebody, you know, says it over and over,
whew,
you know, trying to make you believe it, that's
for sure
a little different.
See, like, some people try to convince you of something. Sometimes it might happen. In, for example, like, I apologize right now for me being a sloppy pig and talking while I was eating this a second ago, but we got this new pizza from Pizza
Now.
Oh,
man.
It's the Meteor.
The Meteor.
And breaking news for anybody that goes to Pizza Now regularly, don't go screaming through the parking lot there to get your pickup window order, because they have blocked it off like they've been threatening to do for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened on Sunday morning. Should have been dead on a Sunday morning. So he comes in at like 10 to open up at 10:30 on Sunday. He had just left the night before at 11.
Yeah.
There were no parking spaces. So they came in on a Sunday morning when they should have been at church or sleeping mm-hmm. in, and probably got paid time and a half by the government. I don't know who does that work.
Well, I would imagine it's the guy who...
General contractor. He probably just...
Yeah.
And he's on the board, and they're like, oh, well, he won't be at the meeting if you try to fight it. So what? He's still behind it 100% with his money, and his other buddies are going to be there. And
yeah.
If you guys don't know the story, it's kind of long and drawn out, but the former Caesars, Little Caesars owner, got the lawyer that's the lawyer for the U.S. market, and it's just, it's a ridiculous thing. I'll post the picture.
It is. It's suspicious city activity.
Yeah, he's on the board, and it just seems vindictive.
Yeah, and so, you know, I mean, hey.
And most of the comments I said has said that your customer service, this is going out to you, Chris, and Pizza Now, your customer service and your pizza stands alone, and you don't have to worry about, you know,
yeah.
It's not going to hurt your business that much. And they said maybe you could do a curbside pickup like Applebee's or Olive Garden.
Sure.
To where
if you want somebody out there just holding $5 pizzas at the stoplight and then selling them right there.
In a hot bag, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, you could have your sign waiver out there, new drive-through window.
Yeah, right
no
on
window.
The corner.
Just stop.
Yeah. You know what I ought to do is I ought to go down to where that guy, his office is, the lawyer.
Just shit on his desk.
No, and then
right
sell pizzas, pizzas right out in front of there. And then you can go down and you can sell pizzas on the street right in front of the Little Caesars so they don't even have to pull into the Little Caesars.
Would you go down to the CEO's president's office and take a shit right there on his desk when he's looking? If anybody doesn't know, that's a throwback from seasons long ago.
It was.
When I got another comment, I was, you know, I pimp ourselves out. If we give a birthday shout out, I like to put it on their page and say, hey,
certainly.
Listen to this. So I did that
at
for
least
Dana.
Listen to this episode when we mention, yeah?
Yeah, and I know that she did too. Dana listened to Friday's episode and said, you guys are fucking hilarious, and I can't believe you told that story about me and LaRue, and I don't really remember it, but I know that it's probably true. And then Carrie Davis came on there, and she's like, oh, I waited for my birthday wish, but I didn't get one.
What?
And I was like, your birthday was on a Tuesday, so you weren't on a podcast day, so we apologize.
Well, happy birthday.
Yeah, happy belated birthday, Carrie. But then she said, I was just fucking with you. She goes, you guys are funny, and I always listen to you, and I love you anyway. So
she posted a link to us. Did you check it out?
Yeah, it was cotton candy. It was medicinal marijuana cotton candy.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I want to try it.
I posted one, too, but I don't remember what it was.
I saw that. It was more of a sexual thing, wasn't it, or not?
I don't remember.
Drugs.
It was something.
Yeah.
But it was something related to food. Because it was cotton candy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, I'm going to... I don't remember what it was.
Yep, I don't remember either.
I have been reading Sad Sack comics. You've been reading them? Yeah, they don't take long to read.
No.
You know, it's pretty quick. And I always enjoy... my favorite parts are those ads, you know? When they have
X-ray glasses,
yeah, and stuff like that, and one was
magic coin,
the
shocker gum,
the patches. Remember when patches were all the rage, and you'd have like the little three colored USA one, and it'd have like a one, and it looked like a highway sign
right,
or whatever.
Right.
And so this is 1976. Think of a Sad Sack crowd, right? You're thinking of
a Sad Sack crowd,
yeah, and so. You have, like, The Devil Made Me Do It on a patch and stuff and things like that and Casper, the Friendly Ghost. And then I noticed two that were quite odd, I thought, for a kid's comic. It was, the one was a key and one was like a ball and chain thing,
mm-hmm.
And it was a master and slave.
Whoa,
patch.
Whoa. Now I wonder if that's more like sexual or like old racist shit.
It had the key, right?
Oh, okay.
And then the ball and maybe, but yeah, I threw it into like the you know the master and slave relationship kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, that's kind of weird, and that's
yeah.
From...
I thought it was 76, you know, and
well,
I guess
that shit was around then.
Yeah, for sure, for
like,
sure. But you know, I just imagine like, what would a parent think if you had those patches and you're like 13 or 14 or something?
Yeah,
you know, your daughter's boyfriend has the master,
and he's got the master key too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and she's got the lock around her neck, and I can just chain you to the bed anytime, and then if I don't want to let you go, you can't do nothing about it.
Yeah. And this kind of reminds me of a Paula Deen story. You know, Paula Deen's been going through some stuff, and I was recently reading an article, and there's a little news that I didn't know about the whole situation. I'm of the mind that, you know, if you can't adapt, you know, and I know that this all happened in the past or whatever.
Was
it
really 26 years ago or something when she said the N-word?
I don't know. But,
because if that's the case, that's fucking ridiculous for them to drop it now.
Well, it's just coming out in the light because of her. The whole thing's happened because she was sued by an employee in one of her restaurants. And so this whole thing is a deposition with that thing, and the things that she's saying are coming out.
Was it a person of color that's suing her?
I think it was sexism and racism, I think. But I don't know if it had directly to do with her or, like, a manager at the branch, or I think it might have even been, like, her brother, because her brother's a business partner. I'm pretty sure that that's what it is. But this came to light, and this is, you know, whether or not you think it's ridiculous or not that it's so long ago, the fact that she says this is highly insensitive to me. But she said that, this is kind of a call for pity she did. She said her grandpa shot himself in the barn after they lost the Civil War.
Okay.
Because he couldn't handle the fact that he had no more workers on his plantation.
And he couldn't afford to pay any regular white
people? Yeah, she said he had up to 30 people on his books, and all of a sudden he had zero, and he just wasn't able to handle that kind of change.
Well, he should have been saving up for all those years when he had free help.
Sure. You know, I mean,
I guess you had to spend your money on the slave.
Yeah, that's the point that, you know, from his point of view, I guess I could see that. But at the same time,
trying to use that as,
you know, you have to understand the other 30 people, I guess, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't delved into it enough. I think she's definitely wrong, and if she's going to be a leader, you know, she was raised in the South. They use the N-word down there way more than people do these days. I mean, probably these days they probably still do, maybe not as much because I haven't been down there, and I don't know how rampant racism is in the South.
Sure.
But growing up there, she's probably she looks like to me like she's about 60. Is she about 60
Certainly.
Or so? So
and she's probably more traveled though than most
right,
of the people down there.
Right, you think that having to deal with a big corporation and deal with all these companies, and I'm sure she has people do her dealings for her because she's the head of the thing. Mm-hmm. But you have to know what is morally acceptable and ethically acceptable when you're doing business deals or even talking to someone off the record,
because
you're a big, important millionaire
you have
CEO
to be careful
of a company.
About what you say.
Exactly. I mean, you might be able to say it in your bedroom to your significant other, but then again, you never know. There could you could have left your webcam on, or who knows.
I think the big thing is, though, that she just doesn't seem very sincere in her backtracking or apologies.
It seems like she just thinks, I can say that my grandpa killed himself, and so that it's okay.
I was raised in the South, so it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. She's got several of these, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Where she's not really saying that it's okay, but she's implying that she wants you to think that it's okay.
20 companies have dropped her.
Well, good. I'm sure it'll put, that's just like when her grandpa lost all of his slaves. She's like, okay, I had this many companies sell my stuff, and then all of a sudden, because I used the N-word 27 years
and
ago.
And this is the crazy thing is she has a new cookbook coming out of like 250 of her recipes lightened up, which I'd imagine like less butter, you know, after diabetes thing. And after all this racism stuff came out, that the pre-orders on Amazon shot through the roof.
Oh, it was
the number one. And then the other day, the publisher said, we're not going to publish that.
We're dropping you too before we pick you up.
And she had a five-book deal with them.
I think that's kind of...
you know,
right,
and
you know, it's unfortunate when people have to deal with bad things, and you know, but
certainly
there's consequences for actions always.
Mm-hmm. So you might have been just better just to not say anything, and rather than to risk looking insincere, or because she put up like five videos and then took them down each one because they weren't sincere enough. and she kept replacing them. And I don't know.
That's funny.
Paula Deen.
Speaking of sincere videos, we hope you guys enjoyed our Monday's episode with our guest Will Woodruff, a Portland comedian.
Hilarious.
A sincere video of his you can find on YouTube. It's him with a big Angry Birds pillow, and he's talking about the story we talked about on Monday about that comedian leaving the other comedian in Pendleton when it was his ride back to Portland. And so it'd be cool if you heard that story and you're interested. I suggest you go to YouTube and check out Will Woodruff's videos. He's a... You can find him on MySpace. You might be able to. I want to talk about that, too, because it's on my brain, obviously. But no, Facebook, he's brain surgeon Will Woodruff.
Yeah.
But I've been getting tons of emails saying, check out so-and-so's new MySpace. Like, at least 7 people. And all these things just from MySpace saying, hey, MySpace is cool. You should check it out.
Well, you know, it's basically...
Is it coming back?
It's what it is, people signing up for MySpace, and then it goes, tell all your friends about the new MySpace, and then they click it, and it probably just sends out mass things
to
everybody.
Yeah, but it's been telling me about people who used to be my MySpace friends, and now...
They're trying to get you to click on it and go back and sign in.
Well, I went there
a
few weeks ago when I was reminiscing about Domesticide, and then all of a sudden I'm getting this, check out John. I don't know who John Novello is, but so the ones, define yourself on a whole new canvas with MySpace.
Check out some John Frusciante instead.
He's cool. He used to be a heroin addict.
Yeah. He's still around, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's still peppery. Peppering it up.
He went back with the peppers after that other guy. Did he die?
Well, their original guy, Hillel Slovak, died years ago of a heroin overdose. And then they got Frusciante, or however you say it. Then he quit and did some other shit, and they had another Dave Navarro
from Jane's Addiction.
Yeah, for quite some time. But I'm pretty sure that they got Frusciante back.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
And Navarro's
that was after
Jane's Addiction and some other things.
He's more of a... I don't want to say Morello because Morello came after, but he's kind of more of just like a noise.
Yeah.
Kind of a...
Like a layer in there of not like a really like a...
Yeah. Not like a lot of rhythm crunching stuff, but a lot of...
I mean, there was a
like
few, you know, because
things.
He was the mastermind behind the guitar of Under the Bridge, you know.
Sure.
Big chord progression there, you know. But he's very Hendrix influenced in his leads and stuff, I've noticed, and watching him play live, Stratocaster.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good player. Why did that? You just heard me say John Novello?
No.
Which is
kind of
like
John,
Dave Navarro and
it is.
John Frusciante.
And so it made me think
that.
Of those two.
Who the
and,
fuck's and, John Novello?
And then I thought of John Frusciante. He had that solo album right after he left the Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, old Quinton. He bought it and he brought it out to the shop and we listened to it a few times and I thought it was, you know, pretty cool. It wasn't like, I think it was kind of like lighter stuff. But,
John Novello.
Under the Bridge I could do without. That's a vault song.
Yeah, it's been vaulted into the vault because of John Novello is using the new MySpace. Check him out. I don't know who you are, dude.
Is he just a random? You know who's not using the new MySpace?
Me.
App Happy Pappy.
Oh, but he still has one, though.
Probably.
He? Yeah. He's probably got 1,000 million.
Remember when that was like the height of gaming for social networks?
What, MySpace?
No, the Mafia Wars.
Dude, I had a flashback. That lasted like 2 months in my realm, or maybe 3.
You log in daily, and you click a few buttons, and then that's it.
Oh, I killed all these people, I got all this money, and I bought a bunch of shit. Okay, next day, save up some time. Like,
and there were all sorts of...
That's not a game.
That game was
that's not even a game.
It had several different skins. There was the one that was like a rock band, where you would battle against other bands, and you'd win money and buy gear.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
Before that, there was the games were kind of like that, but on just web pages. And what it was you had to get people to click the link to go to, to go to your page, and then you would get a couple dollars to later buy something. And yeah, and it's like, who wants to, oh, click this link for me, man? And you're like, what? What is it? I don't even know
why. Why do I want to click it? That's too funny. Just click the link.
I used to always tell Dust, hey, you got to check out this link. And it would be the link to vote for Domesticide on the Rock My Monkey.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're so pissed.
You could click it and say, check out this hot chick.
Yeah.
She's hotter than fuck.
Yeah, check out this story. And
that's when I used to know how to.
You voted for Domesticide.
That's when I knew how to copy and doctor code to where you could, like, make the hot link say anything you want. I could probably still do it if I went into my documents on my computer and found my hot link or whatever I called it back then. But a hot link, that reminds me of Patty Wambaggy. He used to say, isn't your email Terry Guile at hotlink.com? I said, I don't think there's any such thing as hot link. Hotlink.com. I said, a hot link is actually something that you click on and takes you to another page like this. And I put one there and he's like, click. Oh, okay. He texts me. Sunday.
What'd you do, RedTube?
I thought it was YouTube.com, but it was RedTube. He turned it red. But he was working on Sunday. Fucking crazy fool. He said, if I get out of here early enough on Sunday, I want to head over to Brownsville and see if I could go down to your parents' place and you know, chill on the river. I said, totally. You don't have to ask, but thanks for asking anytime you want.
Chilling.
And then I saw his crazy Gen X.
Chilling on the river.
And she looks crazy, dude. She fucking cut her hair, like, super duper short, like shorter than her mom's ever was. And it's, like, kind of curly on the top. And she fucking just, I was at the gas station getting gas. She pulled in. I was like.
So she's at that point to where she doesn't want to take care of her hair anymore, right?
That must be it. Because it's just like
that's when ladies usually cut off their hair later, like in their late 30s and 40s.
Because they're tired of washing it.
They just don't have the time. Sometimes they have kids, there's stuff going on, they just don't have the time, so they're just like, okay.
And they don't have the fucking, the whatever I'm trying
desire.
To think of. Yeah, they don't have the desire to make themselves look attractive to other people and, like, men. Like, maybe she's, I don't know. Like, if you look like that, you're going to be attractive to another woman that looks like that.
Certainly. Well, she is a little bit crazy.
Oh, a little bit. I hope her kids aren't listening. Grace and Tristan, no offense, you know your mom. Just don't let her listen to this.
Sure.
She's listening. Get out of that one-bedroom house, you crazy lady. You can't have three kids in one bedroom with you. I was like, I got a bedroom, you guys, whatever. You can sleep in the kitchen or the fucking living room. I don't know what's up. Oh, man.
Yeah.
See. So, what do we got to talk about? What'd you do? You been doing anything?
No.
Nope, still just hanging out?
Yeah, I watched that Siberia reality show. It's premiering this week.
On
NBC, Xfinity, Comcast sometimes does sneak peeks where you can watch them some shows a week ahead. It's on NBC, and it's like a reality show, but it's scripted.
Are you
And
positive?
It looks like, I'm pretty sure, yeah, just from the previews of what's going on within the season, they kind of just abandoned the cast on this island.
Huh.
Basically.
In Siberia?
So, yeah.
Aww.
Well, I guess it's not an island.
Well, Siberia is fucking brutal.
That is a huge island, though, if you consider Eurasia.
Russia. Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
I'll be on the other side of the island. Which side? The north side.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. You know, people might want to check out that first episode and laugh at it.
Oh,
I thought it was pretty comical how they wanted you to believe it was an actual reality show.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I don't know. If it's a spoof on that, that's fine, too.
I finally watched that celebrity ghost thing you were talking about.
It's fairly.
George Wendt. Okay, so.
The blood running down the walls and the things in the window.
I can't.
You don't believe it?
I can't believe that. I believe that something maybe happened and that they got freaked out, like happens sometimes, but I think there had to have been some prompting or embellishment by the production company or the director to tell him. Now, I don't know.
Well, certainly. If you think about the show, though, that like the reenactments are completely different than when he's being interviewed. So they probably bring him in and interview him for what maybe like a 10 to 15 minutes, and then they reenact from his story.
Right.
And
I
so,
think it's kind of cheesy too how like the person who's telling the story will say, and then I said to him, I said, "What are you doing?" And then the person in the reenactment will go, "What are you doing?"
Yeah.
I kept having in the Wayne Newton one. And I was like,
yeah.
Okay. And then since there's no commercials, you know, you fade to black where the commercial goes, mm-hmm. and then they go back 5 seconds and he says the same thing again.
Or
and
30.
I saw him. Yeah. 30, yeah. Just to recap, here's where we are. I watched the George Wendt one first, of course, because that was the first one.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, yeah, you know. Stranger things have happened. Blood coming from the walls is a little bit far-fetched. I could see hearing the voices, or maybe hearing the water.
What about like seeing things outside the window?
Like figures going by, possibly. And I was like, you know, this could or could not, might or might not be true. Might be.
There could be shadows out, you know.
Then all of a sudden, here comes fucking Mr. Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Wayne Newton, and he totally ruined it for me because I think that that was totally bullshit.
I believe it was bullshit, too.
I know that he was friends with Elvis.
Sure.
And I know that all that's true, and the colonel probably called him that night, and he probably did do a medley. I bet all that's true. But as far as seeing someone in the balcony that wasn't supposed to be there, that you saw a silhouette of Elvis, the first thing I thought, how many Elvis impersonators are there in Las Vegas?
Well, certainly.
And this was only a few months after he died, so maybe there weren't that many, but I don't know. And then the drummer said, oh, I saw someone up there, too. And the thing where he said all the lights went out, and there was just one light right on me. Isn't that normal? I think that's what happens at shows.
I think it was probably just a portion in grief, and part of it has been he has had a long time to embellish that story. You know, I mean, stories naturally get embellished over time.
Big time, big time.
You know, and so whether or not he believes it was, I think, you know, he believes full on it was Elvis, whether it was...
And the more you tell a story, the more you believe yourself, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought it was funny, too. I thought the most entertaining and the one I liked the most was the last one, Ace Frehley.
Sure.
Because I love that dude. He's a rock guitar god, considered, it said on their little thing, considered to be one of the best rock guitarists in the world.
And he's not, like, coming out like, I saw Elvis's ghost or, you
but
know.
Here's my take on his story. He's an abusive father and boyfriend. He was the one pushed him down the stairs, and then he's blaming it on a ghost.
Because he
used to like drink a lot and do a lot of cocaine and drive cars fast and crash, and so like, okay, I'm living with my daughter. The part that they cut out in the editing room was I told that little son of a bitch four times to stay in her bedroom. Next thing you know, she fell down the stairs.
Yeah.
And then I told my wife. Now she's
and I was
not
missing
even...
some coke, and I found it on the stairs.
That's right.
She slipped right on it.
She's not my wife anymore.
Now
my new girlfriend, she's working on it as well. She also fell down the stairs.
He kind of like brushed off the fact that there was a new woman pretty quickly. Kind of like had to go back and I'm like, wait a minute,
watching, but I was also like, I think I was collecting information for the show, and I don't know what happened. It was like, then all of a sudden I was like, oh, he pushed her down the stairs twice, and then I kind of rewound a little bit and said, oh, his newer girlfriend, you know, oh, okay, well.
Yeah, and they had all broken bones.
Right. Because the first time it says, oh, she fell down the stairs and his daughter broke one of her ribs.
Now, are these reenactments in that house, do you think?
I don't think so. It's probably on a soundstage.
Like the George Wendt one. Do you think they went back to that house?
I doubt it. What did you think of those Indian paintings that he had on the wall?
Oh, that is true.
Those were pretty hardcore.
Those were creepy. And so, but I think like...
They might have just had someone paint
these
those.
These are actors, though, other
I
than
know.
Ace Frehley and, well...
Well, Wayne. He's an actor. He was in The Phantom Goes to the Park or whatever. Kiss Meets
sure.
the Phantom.
Yeah, I mean, it's all publicity, right?
The Phantom Goes to the
if
Park.
If you can go and...
That was the original title, by the way, The Phantom Goes to the Park, but...
It wasn't... what is The Phantom of the Park?
No, it's Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Yeah. Hear that movie.
Corn.
I remember...
So corny.
I wasn't able to watch it when it first came. What was it, like 78?
Yeah.
So,
I remember specifically right now, I just had a flash in my mind the night that it was going to premiere on ABC or whatever fucking major network it was. My mother, my real mother, rest her soul,
and I were at the Brownsville Coin Op Laundry Mat because our facilities were inoperable.
Uh-huh.
And we had like two or three loads to do, and I was just going, Mom, we got to hurry because we got to be back by 9 o'clock. Pretty sure we missed a little bit of the first of it, but I remember being at the laundromat the night that that came out, so maybe I should look up and see what day it officially premiered.
At this time. Why didn't you guys do the laundry over at the car wash?
Well, we didn't own the car wash at that time.
Oh, okay.
We could have paid whatever it was then, 75 cents, and just laid all of our laundry out on the fucking concrete.
You could have done the brush first.
Pressure wash it. We didn't even have the brushes back in the... We're talking 70s. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I remember watching it later on. This was probably like 93, renting it.
So cheesy.
I tried to make it through it, and I literally, you know, I'd fall asleep, and then I'd pick up later on. It took me 5 times before I made it from the beginning to the end without falling asleep.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is the voiceovers are so bad as far as, like, matching up with the lips, and, like, Ace and Peter were both in a fucking drug-induced haze at that time, and they couldn't even make it to the studio to do their voiceovers, so they have, like, other people. And you can actually hear, like, throughout the movie, inconsistencies of voiceovers, like... Hey, I'm trying to sound like Ace, but I'm not, really. And Gene was just like, brains. But he sounded like a zombie before zombies were cool.
Yeah.
Brains.
Yeah, I don't remember much of it except for just the visual effects. There's visual effects, right? Mm-hmm. Like they had things flying out of their fingertips and stuff.
Because there was the four regular Kiss guys, and then there were the four alter egos.
I remember having the
egos.
Color form thing, and it had all the little things. And that, I loved those things,
I wonder
man.
If you can get color forms on
They
eBay.
Still sell them.
Oh, the new ones?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's still a thing. And, go to color forms, and they'll do it. And you can look up the old Kiss ones and any of the other ones online.
I'm sure Gene Simmons has new Kiss ones out, color forms, anything.
He probably does. I'd like to get that Shannon Tweed one.
Ooh, flesh-colored.
Yeah. You know what? She's going to play the next Joker.
What?
Well, she could.
Yeah. With those lips.
Yep.
Hey, before I forget, we need a big spot there for pizza now because it tastes so good, but I don't want to forget our other sponsors, Complete Ag Resolutions, over there in Shed, Oregon. That's Shed with 2 D's. Check them out on Facebook at facebook.com/theguitarist from Guns N' Roses, who I found out has a son named Cash. But anyway, it's slash Complete Ag Resolutions. Slash has a son named Cash, and his real name is Saul Hudson. So I guess the kid's name would be Cash Hudson.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's not a bad name.
That kind of makes me think of
Slash
of
and Cash.
A thing, because you got Tango and Cash. Who is Cash? Kurt Russell.
Yeah, but who was Tango?
Sylvester.
Sylvester. I'm thinking of Turner and Hooch.
So it was Kurt Russell, right?
Yeah, Kurt Russell.
Who married?
Goldie Hawn.
And their daughter is?
Hudson.
There you go.
Oh, why is she a Hudson?
Kate Hudson.
Why is her name Kate Hudson?
I don't know.
Is Kurt not her dad?
That's very possible.
Because you'd think her name would be something else.
Yep. Russell.
Like Hahn or Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it could have been Hustle.
Kate Hahn.
Kate Hustle.
Hmm.
It's Hahn or Russell.
I don't know. I used to think she was pretty cute and stuff, but over
the
years.
The mom?
No, Kate Hudson.
You don't think she's cute anymore? I liked her in Almost Famous.
Yeah, for sure. And I still think she's cute, but just the things that I've read, she just, I don't know. I don't know. Over the years... That has waned. Plus, you don't see her in any movies anymore.
Are good.
Yeah, the one when she was in Almost Famous, I mean, she was quite
pretty hot,
teasy.
Yeah,
you know, and so sure that sparked a lot. And then
she spun
around and showed her titties.
And that's when we saw Marc Maron before we knew who Marc Maron was.
Lock the gates.
So, did you watch the 2 episodes on Friday?
No.
Last week you didn't? Are you still a few... you don't have it.
Yeah, I still don't have it, but okay. I did see him on Letterman the other day.
He talked about that on his podcast. I listened. He had Cheech and Chong on What the Fuck. It was cool, dude.
And Dave said, I can't believe it's been 11 years since I've been out here.
Yeah.
And then at some point...
Dude, he told the story of that. So, like, they record a couple episodes a day on Letterman now. A lot of people don't know that, but they do. They record two shows a day. That way they only have to do, like, 2.5 days a week of actual coming in.
3 days of production.
Right. So he said, I was going to go in for filming on Tuesday to be on Wednesday's show, and then something came up, and they were going to have me film on Tuesday to be on Thursday's show, and then I meet the comedian that was supposed to be on the night with me. He goes, and then I got moved again, and I had met this guy, and he was an up-and-comer. I can't remember his name. It was his first time on Letterman, and he was asking me for pointers, you know, and I was telling him, you know, look at the camera, and, you know, I'm telling him honest, you know, helpful tips and whatnot. And we go our separate ways, and I felt like I'd made a friend and maybe been a mentor and helped him. And then they had to move me again for something, and he got bumped. And so that guy didn't get to be on at all that week. Yeah. And he talked about that, and I just didn't know
that. He was on with a big celebrity too, right?
Yeah. Tom Cruise. Or no, Johnny Depp.
Yeah, Johnny Depp. Yeah.
So he's like, Johnny Depp gets two full segments, which is fine. You know, he's pushing the, Lone Ranger.
Depp.
He's pushing the Lone Ranger.
Which
he's talking
I had
about.
No idea was even a movie coming out.
So he's Tonto, and he like spent a lot of time with a bunch of Indians, Native Americans.
Certainly, and he always has. Too.
And he wants to be true to that race or whatever you want to call it. And
from what I see, he plays it a little bit goofy, but not so like.
Ow, me Tonto. You know, it's supposed to be that way, but you know,
he's still a little bit more
modernized.
Know, yeah, and. But adding the Johnny Depp goofiness from what I've seen, you know, and kind of the... All right, go ahead.
It's all right. So Mark said that, like, with all the mix-ups, so he's waiting to go on. He's coming on after Johnny Depp. He's up at the waiting room. He goes, when you're on a TV show, you're just in the green room and you're watching a show and you're just waiting to go on. He goes, and then Biff Henderson comes to get me and we're going on. He goes, and the elevator is, like, taking forever. And then they call him, where are you guys at? He's like, we're on our way. He said, the elevator doors haven't even opened yet. And then he's like, okay, so he's on in 30 seconds. We're like, just getting in the elevator. We got 3 floors to go. So it's like 30 seconds. He goes, I literally get out of the elevator, walk on, and within 20 seconds, Mark Maron. He goes, I've never met Dave Letterman in person and sat down and talked to him in my life. And then 20 seconds later, I'm on national TV talking to David Letterman, and I'm not really that kind of a nervous guy, he said, but he goes, if you look close enough, you can see my hand shaking. So that's kind of weird that Maron got nervous, but like I said...
It was a good interview, though. He was funny.
I didn't see it yet, but I did hear that setup story on the Cheech and Chong episode, which was very, very informative, interesting, funny, the best WTF I've listened to in months. That I mean, he's been having a lot of like different people. He had a Gandolfini episode that I didn't get to listen to yet, but the Cheech and Chong one was pretty awesome. I dug it.
Right on.
Talked
he's
about
been a busy guy lately.
Yeah, for sure. And then like, see, I watched the shows on Friday, which was cool. I won't get into them because you haven't seen them yet. But Friday, before I got to watch those, I did that show at the Cosmic Pizza, and I just want to inform any musicians out there who might be approached by this production company that I did this show for. They're called Afton Shows. I would not recommend working with them.
What happened?
Nothing really. I mean, so they approached me. They approached our Bikini Facebook and said, I enjoy your guys' music, which I don't know how they could because we don't have any posted. Said, we'd like to book you for some shows. We're putting together some shows in the Eugene area. They offered us a date. Jake wasn't available. I said, well, keep in mind I have a solo acoustic act that I do. 2 days later, she got to me and said, she said, could you do the solo acoustic that night? And I said, well, let me think about it. I checked my schedule, thought about it, said, sure. Greg from Strange Dichotomy had told me, you know, I work with those guys. They don't do anything illegal, but they are a little bit questionable as far as ethics and morals go, business ethics. And so every day I would get an email from this company with tips on how to sell tickets. You know, they asked me first, how big of a draw do you think you get? I just said, not a lot, maybe 20 people. And then they said, okay, well, if you sell 20 tickets, you get a person on the guest list. But if you don't, you might not get a guest. And if you don't sell as many tickets as you said you might sell, you might not get any money. You might get a terrible slot. And you might not get rebooked.
And then they kept sending me these things, and I said, look, finally, I said, I'd ask them questions about lineups and different things, and all I would get was these automated emails asking me how many tickets I sold and how to sell more tickets. And so I finally replied and said, look, I've been doing this for 25 years. I know about shows. I know about how to get people to shows. I know about selling tickets. I go, and you should know, working in this business, that sometimes people have other stuff to do that night and you can't get your friends all to come out to a show. I said, and I know that might mean that I'm not going to get rebooked, and it might mean that I might get a not so great slot. I'm okay with that. So quit bugging me about the fucking tickets. And then I kept asking him up to the day, 3 hours before the show, still no response except for automated bullshit about when my show was. I had about 4 or 5 people who had said they bought tickets online. My friend Ron Hoosier actually used the code to save $3 off a pair of tickets, which would be a total of $6. And he told me that he paid the full amount with the code, with a note to them saying, please forward the extra $3 per ticket to the artist for a tip.
Sure.
And he's like, I hope you get that. And I said, well, I might get half. So anyway, I meet the lady. I get there. No response. I get there at 6 because they got to be there for load-in. My load-in
certainly
is a guitar and a cord. I get there at about 6:20. I talk to the lady, and she goes, okay, here's the deal, blah, blah, blah. You got any money for any tickets you sold? I was like, no. All my ticket sales were online. And then she goes, okay, so you're last at 10:45. So I'm there, and I got 4.5 hours to kill through 6 other acts, which were mediocre at best. There was a couple good ones, but so there was probably a total of like 30 people, not ever at one time. So it was a very sparse crowd. Yeah, they
but
came.
But what were the ticket prices?
Expensive, dude. They were $10 in advance online, plus $1.75 service. So $11.75. $13 at the door. And I saw people coming in.
I thought that was...
They got people coming in off the streets going, hey, and they like, oh, how much is it? And she's like, $13. And they're like, really? Who's playing? And she's like, well, one already played, and there's 6 more acts. We got Callow Ruse, Jill Ledet, Grace Holmes, Milepost, Tripwire Project, and Terry got, you know, all bands you've never
certainly
heard of.
Yeah,
you know. And he's like, oh no, I'm gonna go somewhere else. So it was a sparse crowd.
Let's get 3 beers.
And so then the lady came up to me after the show, because it says don't leave. Well, how could I leave? I was last.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave without checking in with Gabby to find out what your tally is for your door tally. And she said that she had one person that paid to come in to see me, and that after they get the tallies of the online sales, they'll be cutting me a check in 5 to 7 days, which is probably going to be for like $4, because they told me if I sold the amount of tickets that I said I could, which was 20, I would probably receive $1 per ticket in revenue. So if I sold 4 tickets online and 1 at the door, I'll probably be getting a check for $5. Hmm. And they did nothing to promote it. I saw a couple flyers, handbills at the door there. You'd think they totally are, and the lady who went second, no, third, talked to me, and she's like, I didn't sell any tickets. And I was like, well, shit, I sold at least 5, so I should have got a better time slot. I didn't say that to her, but I thought it, you know. So
certainly.
It was all good.
It's not her fault.
The last 2 bands that played right before me were there, and they stuck around.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think it was the last 3 bands, because the 2 bands before the guy before me had some members that were in both bands. So they all stuck around, and they enjoyed it, and it was cool. One guy yelled out after a song, I want to be your drummer. And I was like, well, that's cool. Bring your drums. He's like, well, they're right over there, but... So,
but it was like, are you sure he wasn't saying, singing that song, I want to be your lover?
I want to be your drummer.
It was by the Spice Girls. Is that it?
Oh, if you want to be my drummer,
yep,
you got to set up your drums. So it was fun. And then, so like, I had my set planned out to be about 27 minutes, not over 30, which was what I was told I would get.
Certainly.
So I got done with 5 of my 7 songs, and the guy comes on, all right, everybody, that's Terry Guile. We have come to our curfew. And I was like, hey, wait a minute. Can I just do one more? I mean, because like everybody else got, I didn't say that. I just said, can I do one more? Thinking to myself,
everybody else got to do their full set.
Sure.
They got behind schedule, and now they're going to cut me, who waited 5 hours. He gave me kudos and said, you're one of the most patient musicians, man. You sat there all night patiently waiting. And he introduced himself, and I said, he asked what my name was, how to pronounce it. And I said, you did Sound for Pajama People, right? And he's like, yeah. I go, I'm that guy that sat in with him on bass on one song per set. He's like, oh, yeah, Terry, I knew I recognized you from somewhere. They call him Slim Jim.
Mm-hmm.
He is Slim, and his name's Jim. But he was real cool. And then he's like, well, if it's a short one, go ahead and do it. So I had a new song that I wrote a couple weeks ago that I've been really wanting to do. And mm-hmm. if I would have known that they were going to cut me short, I would have done it earlier. But
yeah.
So I just cut one verse in the solo out and made it into like a little 2.5 minute radio edit. But it was fun. The people who were there enjoyed it. And luckily my friend Ron filmed it and posted it on YouTube. And a bunch of my friends have watched it and said, nice job. So it was a fun time. But I just don't recommend working with Afton unless it's a show that you really want to play with some other artist that or a venue that you really might want
to
play.
It seems like a lot of money to ask, $13 in these days.
That's why no one came.
Yeah.
And I know if you have 7 acts and you promise them each $1 per ticket if they sell a certain amount, you're going to have to charge at least 10 to... You know, and you're also giving them a $3 promo code that their fans could take advantage of getting tickets.
But
for
if they're
seven.
Selling the ticket to get the dollar, you know, why would the promotion company need more than a dollar from that themselves? Because they're not actively selling the ticket. You know, I could see taking a dollar for being the promoter or whatever, or even two. But taking what is
$3 and then $6 at the door because they're charging
$13. Yeah, $6 at the door is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. It's tough when you got that many bands and you want to pay the bands, too.
And it was it's a cool venue. I love playing there. You remember Sons played there a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I did an acoustic show. And the Zappa show, they've got a great sound system and a big spread out place. It'd be great to play a show that was, like, really full, like it was when Pajama People played. But you got to have that draw, which I just don't got it yet.
You know who's not going to be playing drums for you?
Nope.
Alan Myers.
Oh, yeah, I did. I posted that. I was sad that day, and I actually broke out my Devo
tears?
Album.
Tears?
I broke out a tear or two, and then I had to listen to it because, you know, a lot of people think of Devo, and they think of a drum machine-y sound.
Electronica.
And they think, oh, what would the drummer do? But listen to
that
first album.
I thought
that, too. Are We Not Men? We Are Devo. 1976.
Certainly.
Uncontrollable Urge. Just, I can't get no satisfaction. The drum beat on that is fucking loopy, fucking weird, and very cool. He was a good drummer. And cancer, fuck cancer. I hate cancer. It kills everybody. Mm-hmm. Kills all the good ones. So, yeah, rest in peace, Alan Myers. I wonder if he was related to Fred.
Fred Myers?
Yeah.
Oh!
I gotcha.
Or Michael.
Yeah. Well, Fred and Michael, they're distant cousins.
Also, Doink the Clown, original one, Matt Osborne, local professional wrestler. He got a start in Portland.
Yeah.
I remember many times going and seeing him face off versus Rip Oliver. They kind of looked almost like brothers, except where Rip Oliver had a darker beard.
Yeah.
And I would go, and those are probably my two favorite wrestlers at that time because they were both they were tag team for a while, too, I do believe. Really good storylines back in the day.
But see, didn't Matt Osborne
wrestling.
Play himself as well as Doink the Clown? Or?
Yeah, when he was in Portland, he was Matt Osborne. And, they were good rivals, and they tag-teamed, and I remember getting both their autographs on more than one occasion.
Nice.
Yeah.
Don't have many more, though, do you?
Maybe, though.
That could be worth a dirty penny.
Yeah, I'd have to look through.
Maybe not.
I do got some old wrestling programs from back in the day and stuff, so it's possible.
Yep. And I know you're real busy, so I don't know if you're actually listening, but Bobby, that's a bummer, isn't it, Bobby Jordan? And congratulations to you on your new child. That little sucker, it looks like a little you. I could actually see her face in its face. I call it an it. It's a her, isn't it? It's a girl, right?
I do believe so.
Okay. So we were talking before the episode that, you know, sometimes you got to give a little to get a little. So you pretty much traded in one of your favorite wrestlers for a newborn baby.
Yeah.
So hope you're happy.
Yep. And you got you, there you got a nickname for your newborn, Doink.
Doink the Clown.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, talking about that What the Fuck episode with Cheech and Chong.
Oh, yeah.
I had a guy that went to school in our school. He was about in my brother's class, so he was 4 or 5 years ahead of me. But his name was Richard Freeze, and he was Mexican or half Mexican.
Dick Freeze?
Well, they called him Cheech because Richard Marin, Cheech Marin. So for a long time, I thought that like Cheech was like a Mexican nickname for Richard.
Oh, sure.
Like Dick is a Mexican nickname or American nickname for Richard. And I come to find out because they asked him on the show, Cheech is short for Chichano or some weird Mexican word.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just his nickname. It was his family nickname that they called him. Our little Chicharrano, because he was like the youngest or something like that. And so they ended up calling him Cheech. And he never went by Cheech until they were trying to come up with a name for their duo. Call it Tommy and Richard or, let's see, Marin and
Tom.
Tom,
Dick. They needed a Harry.
Tom and Dick. And then they like, it's like Richard and Chong. And then Chong said, do you got like a nickname or anything? He's like, oh, my family used to call me Cheech. He's like, how about Chong and Cheech? And he's like, no, that's Cheech and Chong. Cheech and Chong.
Bam.
And we just and they said, once you heard it, Cheech and Chong, Cheech and Chong, it just rolls off the tongue and it sounds great. And I didn't know it. They were the first people to really put out comedy records before Carlin. I mean, they did it in the 60s and 50s, you know, the old school people. Mm-hmm. But as far as like a record... They were before Carlin and Pryor and Lily Tomlin and all those guys. 71, they came out, and the first skit on their first album was Dave's Not Here. They told the story of how they came up with that. Cheech got locked out of the studio, and Tommy was inside working on stuff. And the door was locked, and it was super hot out there, and he had this big coat on. And they're at the big record studios or whatever because they'd got a Warner Brothers deal. And he's knocking on the door, and he's like, I was just fucking with him. I'm like, who is it? He's like, it's me, man. Let me in. He's like, so I just kept fucking with him because I knew it was hot and he had that big coat on. He's like, who is it? He's like, it's me, man. Fucking let me in, man. And he's like, I just recorded that. And he goes, I kept doing it and it just got funny. And finally I let him. He's like, what the fuck, man? Why are you doing that to me? He's like, listen to this. And he plays it for him and he's like, he goes, we listened to that for like an hour, just fucking laughing our asses off, and then we just embellished it. He goes, maybe you could say you had the drugs that you were, and let me in, man. He goes, and before we talked about it, he's like, who is it? He's like, it's Dave, man, let me in. And he's like, I just pulled Dave out of the air. He goes, I just, hey, it's Dave, let me in. And so he goes, and that's how that was born. Because a lot of the stuff came from their stage act.
Sure.
And they doctored it up to fit on a record. But it's just great to hear those stories. If anyone's interested in how comedy evolves and how early comedy came together, check out the latest episode of What
Cheech and Chong.
Cheech and Chong.
Both of them were on there?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And it talks about their breakup and they're getting back together and all the movies and records that they made and stuff like that.
Yeah, I heard that they're going to reboot Nash Bridges and Chong is going to play Don Johnson's part.
Tong Jong Jachin. Chong Johnson is going to be his name.
And,
but before I forget here.
And then he's going to be Tubbs.
Today, and I was trying to find a, I was trying to find a fucking... the Heatwave song, because it's been hotter than shit for the last 5 or 6 days, and none of them were available on a mobile device. So Martha and the Vandellas apparently really protective of their songs to be played on mobile devices.
Not a lot of people knew that the Vandellas went on to form the punk band The Vandals.
Whoa, Martha and the Vandals.
Yeah,
huh.
That's not true.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, today, as hot as it is very appropriate. I've been covering some of these lately. It's National Stay Out of the Sun Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is good.
And it's on a Wednesday, which is weird. Stay out of the Sunday. How can you be in a Sunday when you're on Wednesday? Hey, happy hump day. Forgot to tell you guys, it's Wednesday. Birthdays for today include Tom Cruise, who's in a new movie recently, wasn't he?
Yeah.
How old do you think that bastard is? He's so excited jumping up on couches and shit.
82, he was probably about 20, so I'm going to go 62, 51.
That's it.
Really?
That's great deductive reasoning. He is 51 today.
Wow.
And I recently read a story that Cher ranked Tom Cruise in her top 5 lovers of all time.
I didn't even know they were.
Me neither.
They were bumping uglies.
In the early 80s, for a quick minute, she said they were together.
A quick minute?
That gave him a bad name, didn't it?
Wow, that had to be around risky business. She's like, I'm going to get some of that.
I'm going to get some of that fucking.
And he was all in the, I'm fresh new star. I'll do any of those stars.
Right. And that's our only celebrity birthday, but we do have my wife's cousin, Amy Go Ducks Klein, as she's known on Facebook. Amy Klein, happy birthday, cousin Amy. I know you don't listen to the show, but if my wife listens, she'll think it's cool that I told her cousin happy birthday. So there's that. And don't forget, on Friday, even though we just had a guest on Monday with Will Woodruff, we will be having Floyd from Sick Man.
What?
On Friday, yes, former Four Stalls Fall. And who knows, he does a solo act. We're talking about doing an acoustic show together at some point soon. So he will be on Friday. And that will be fun because we've been trying to get him on here for like four seasons or five, possibly. I can't remember when we started bugging him for that.
Mm-hmm. And we also, you posted a new seasonal image.
Yeah.
And you broke out the one from the summer.
Yeah,
because
it's hot, dude.
I laughed.
I didn't put any words on it or nothing. Sure. I just changed our image and said, hey, it's summertime. We're chilling by the pool.
Maybe that would be a great one to throw the Terry and Gat show on.
Yeah.
Comedy show.
Let's both work on one, and then we'll compare them and see who came with the best one.
All right.
How's that sound to you?
All right.
All right. And we're running up to the end of the show, so... So we're going to go ahead and hit this, and then we're going to get out of here. Thanks for listening, Hans. I hope you check out Coffin Worm. Maybe that will be in one of your CD players soon. But he's listening to Yob today, Elaborations of Carbon, which was their first official release. Good stuff there. And like I said, I listen to so much stuff, I can't even remember what I listened to last. Do you remember what I listened to last?
Yeah, the knockoffs.
Oh, yeah. And that might be 30 seconds on my shirt, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, go.
They got a 20-year reunion coming up. My friend Bobby Jordan, which we just mentioned from California, his band, The Knockoffs, found this old shirt with the band drawn in Simpsons caricatures by Matt Groening, cross out, Matt K. Shrug, which is kind of cool.
I've
got refrigerator magnet set of four. Too, with
is one of those guys Danny Secretion?
I'm not sure if Danny was in the band yet. I know that they changed members a few times. So, Bobby, if you're listening, let
us
know.
They knock guys off?
Yeah. If you're in the band too long, they just knock you off.
Oh, all right.
But yeah, they're a cool punk band. Kind of really sing-along punk. They sing comical lyrics and stuff like a lot of good punk bands do. So.
Right on.
There's that. So, yeah, I guess I was listening to the Knockoffs and I didn't even know it. No, I did listen to him a few weeks ago, but I don't have a clue of what's going on right now, so it's too hot.
Certainly.
It's supposed to cool off a little bit for the weekend, like down to the upper 80s, which isn't really even that different. So.
80 is fucking hot in Oregon.
It is.
Especially when you're coming from rain and it gets muggy.
Just boom! It's cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's hot.
Yeah.
So, all right, so we hope that you will join us on Friday with our special guest. Floyd will be in the studio with us. He's the one responsible for our outro music, which you're hearing right now. And so you guys, come back, try to beat the heat, drink lots of water. I've had a friend, actually I think it was
a
relative of Floyd's, that had a heat stroke of sorts recently.
Wow.
Is that true? Yeah, I saw a Facebook post that heat strokes are no fun.
Oh,
so double up on the water, kids. I'm drinking Mountain Dew and that doesn't do shit. So we'd like to thank our sponsors, Pizza Now, Complete Ag Resolutions. Go check out TerryGuile.com and SickDaddyRadio.com.
Now rock on.
Yeah, metal up your asses. How'd you know? It's time for plugs. Hey, Taggots, what's up? I'm telling you, and you're doing it. I started saying that, and I'm going to keep on saying it. July 13th. In Portland at the Hawthorne Theater, a great comedy show with Jackie Cashian. Whitney Streed, local comic, opening up, and John Washington emceeing the show. Go to that. It's a Saturday night. If you're not in the Portland area and you'd rather get your face melted off, as they say, go to the Dixie Creek Saloon. 30-pound test in her memory and a special guest, which is, I don't know yet. It's a free show. It's 9 o'clock. It's 21 and over. It's Dave Wilson's birthday bash. He's the guy that rounds up the Lamb Valley local music scene.
Also in July, we've got Black Flag on the 18th at the Hawthorne Theater with Piggy and Good For You. Hawthorne's got a lot of good shows coming up, including the 20th of July, 6 Feet Under, Cannabis Corpse, and Decrepit Birth. July 30th, it's the Gigantour, Megadeth, Black Label Society, Hell Yeah, Newstead, and a bunch of other bands. That's in Everett, Washington at the Comcast Arena. We were talking the other day. Hell Yeah, great name for a band. Not really. I got a new band. It's called Fuck No. Also July 18th, just announced, Jim Gaffigan at the Holt Center. He will talk about Hot Pockets, I'm sure, at least at one point. July 27th, the Flaming Lips will be at the Edgefield McMinimums out in the Troutdale, I think it is, up in Portland. Check that out, Flaming Lips. Hans, you should go to that. I know you love those guys. July 28th, it's Rush at the Sleep Country Amphitheater. They'll have vending machines and washing machines on stage, probably, and maybe a couple mattresses up there for you to take a little nap during the 2112 Overture. Who knows what's going on with those folks. July 31st, this is for you, Zach Rowe. Every Time I Die is coming to Hawthorne Theater. You missed them last year. Go see them. July 31st. August 2nd, Blue Oyster Cult at the Benton County Fairgrounds in Corvallis. That's the first band I ever saw live. They had an explosion on stage, and it blacked me out during Don't Fear the Reaper. Too much cowbell. August 5th at the Hawthorne, it's The Sword. I saw those guys with Caius and Yab, and they rock my sock off. They'll be playing with Castle and American Sharks, which is a weird name for a band, but very cool, I guess. Let's see what else we got. August 8th at the Grand Theater in Salem, Doug Benson bringing his brand of stoner comedy to Salem at the Grand Theater. Only 450 seats are available. Some of them are probably already gone. It will probably sell out. And if you don't want to go to that, check out Foghat. That's also August 8th. The Monteith Park, free, Rhythm of Rhythms. You know, they don't got all the original members, but they'll be playing some Slow Ride. You know that. August 20th, it's the Melvins and Honky at the Wonder Ballroom. Both great bands. Check those guys out. Black Sabbath at the Gorge, August 24th. August 29th, we got Gary Newman of In Cars fame at the Wow Hall. September 8th, the Uproar Festival with Alice in Chains, Jane's Addiction, and a whole bunch more. Also at the Sleep County Country Amphitheater. At the Wow Hall in Eugene, got all-girl Led Zeppelin tribute band. No, wait, they're not all girls. I don't know what I'm saying. But they're called Led Zeppelin. That's September 12th. I'm talking shit right now is what I'm doing. Got a bunch of cool metal shows coming up at the Hawthorne Theater in October. Lots of time to make plans for these. October 11th, Diamond Head and Raven. October 13th, Creator and Overkill. October 25th, Godflesh. All at the Hawthorne Theater. I'll be at the Baghdad Theater on August 30th to do comedy. I'll be at the Wetlands on July 18th to do comedy. That's in Eugene on 9th and Garfield. And I think that's all I got for you guys now. Thanks for listening to the plugs. Now go back to listening to all the episodes of the TagCast podcast that you have failed to hear yet. Get out there and do something fun, you guys. Peace out.